Nigel. Good morning, everybody. Guys, what a celebration it is today that we can come together and celebrate all that God has done over this last number of months. As we've been in Little Church, I've been in Connect, have we been in Kids Church, have we done YF, we've done loads of things in this church. Guys, give yourselves a round of applause for seeing a whole year through. Well done. Well, it's my joy to be able to speak to you this morning. And I want to start off with asking you, what have you guys been learning in Kids Church and Little Church and Connect this year? What have you learnt? Nothing. This wasn't prepped before. This should have been prepped before. What have we been learning about, Rebecca? Bible heroes. Wonderful. Connect, what have we been learning about? Apologetics. What a big word, okay? Like defense of our faith, okay? And we have been learning about this great person called Jesus. Because the Bible tells us, guys, that way in the beginning, God created what? The world. And how many days did he create the world in? Well, six. But what did he do on the seventh? He rested like every good father, okay? Like fathers and father figures today, hopefully we'll all get a rest after our dinner today, yes? Yes, brilliant, fantastic. Well, God created this perfect world, and he made it wonderful. He looked at it and he said it was good, and then he created us, and the best part of his creation was you and me. And whenever I look in the morning, I have to tell myself, Stuart, you're the best part of God's creation, even with my fuzzy hair, okay? You all should say that to everybody. Say that to each other. Point to the people beside you and go, you're the best part of God's creation. Look at that. Look at everybody smiling here this morning. Doesn't that make you feel good? Because God made you and he said you were wonderful. And God gave us the most beautiful garden to live in. Everything that we could ever dream of. But he gave us one simple rule. He said, you can do whatever you want in this garden. I will walk with you day and night. But there's a tree in the middle of the garden, and I don't want you to eat the fruit. But then, in this world, we know that there's good, and we know that there's not good. We know that there's evil. And Satan disguised himself as a snake, came into the garden, and said to Eve, Eve, did God really tell you that you weren't to eat the fruit of that tree? Do you know, go on ahead and have a little piece. What harm is it going to do? God just doesn't want you to be like him. And Eve thought for a moment, and she probably went, but God told me I shouldn't do this, but that looks so good, that piece of fruit. But God told me I shouldn't do this, but that fruit looks so good. And what did Eve do, guys? She took a bite of the fruit. And in that moment, the perfect relationship between God and humanity was broken. Can we all get an awe at that? Oh. You see, no longer could God be anywhere near us because we were sinful people. No longer could God walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, they hid themselves from God because they knew they had done wrong. And it was very sad. And God kicked them out of the garden and said, you're not allowed in here anymore. I can't be near you. And we all, everybody in here this morning, we all have things in our life called sin. Anything that we say, we think, or we do, which goes against what God wants for us. We're all guilty. The Bible tells us that we've all fallen short of what God expects us to be like. And we all have this darkness inside of us. We all have sin. But then there's a verse in the Bible that says that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and his only son, that whoever believes in him should never die but have everlasting life. That was God's rescue plan for each of us. Boys and girls, we hear about this every week, that God sent Jesus into this world, the most special person ever, to be our rescuer. The one that we could have a relationship with God, the one where we could follow him, the one who would guide us, the one who would deliver us from sin, if only we choose to follow him. And boys and girls, it is our prayer, all of our leaders' prayers, that whenever you come to church on a Sunday, that you would hear about Jesus, that you would choose to believe in him. But not only that, to go outside of these four walls and to tell everybody about him. This morning we had Holly read to us, and the Bible first talked to us about being the salt and the light of this world. You see, whenever I was looking at the passage at home, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Stuart, remember what Jesus said? And if we look at Matthew chapter 9, it says these words. Jesus went through all of the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." And we know God will bless that reading to us. So some of you might know, guys, that I am a dairy farmer's son. Any farmers in here this morning, or anybody got connection with farms? Yeah, Jennifer, I'm from Strait, the great. Okay, great farming land over there in Strait. If nobody knows where that is, it's the center of the universe, I would say. Okay, I grew up about 1 mile outside of Strait. But this time of year, my dad is really, really, really busy. You see, outside, the sun is shining. The rain has gone for maybe a day or two. Happy days, okay? And Dad knows that there's great urgency to get the fields cut, to get the round bales made, and pack it all away for the winter months. And that scripture tells us this morning about a great harvest. You see, there's people in this world who are wondering who Jesus is. They're wondering maybe why they're here. They're maybe wondering why this world is so full of sadness. They may be wondering, what's the meaning of this life? Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking the same. Well, boys and girls, we have the answer. I want to tell you a story this morning about a farmer just like my dad. You see, he, in the springtime, had planted some seeds out in his field. He had plowed the field. You know that song? Anybody know the song? You plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the ground. I'll never be in Britain's Got Talent, okay? But that was my dad. He was out scattering the fields. You don't do it like this here anymore. You put a seed spreader on the back of a tractor. Jill's laughing at me because she's saying, this boy's not a farmer. I'm a farmer's son, I said, Jill, okay? So he puts the sower on the back of the tractor and he goes out and he spreads the field, okay? And sows the field. And he cares for it. He puts fertilizer on it. And it grows and grows and grows. And when the harvest is ready, there's a sense of urgency. Dad's looking on his mobile phone. Yes, a farmer has a mobile phone. And he's going, now is the time to get the tractors out and bring the harvest in. I've got a little nephew at school, and he texted my mom this week and said, Granny, can you come and pick me up? We're just watching films in school and the football, and I just want to get home into the tractor and help my granda. Even he realized the urgency of getting the crops in. But this farmer anyway, just like my dad, he went to sleep one night going, tomorrow is the day. I'm going to get the combine harvester out. I'm going to get the trailers out, and I'm going to bring the crop in. So he set his alarm for, say, 6:30 in the morning. Who was up before 6:30 this morning? Margaret, what were you doing up before 6:30? And he was so excited, and he got up the next morning with the sound of the alarm, and he goes, today's the day, but he also had a wee grumble because he said, it's another day and I'm tired. And he looked at his alarm clock and he says, it's time to get up. And he went into his closet, he lifted out all of his clothes that he needed, and he fumbled around because it was still darkness. And in his closet, he thought he was bringing out his welly boots, but all of a sudden, he realized that he was wearing the wrong things. He brought a pair of these out instead. Are these what a farmer would use to go out into a field? No. What do you think would happen if a farmer put these here on? He would break the heels, and the heels would sink down into the ground. And then he would trip over. Do you know, you would be some sort of person if you could walk in these. I said to the service earlier this morning that I borrowed these off Nigel, but it wasn't. I got them in a charity shop yesterday. So that got me thinking, that wee story, about different types of shoes. And then it got me thinking about the Bible passage about the workers that we need for this harvest. And whenever I read that story, I hear that God is telling us to be urgent. There's an urgent thing happening, that God is coming back to bring us home to be with him. And we need to go out into the fields and be part of that harvest of bringing the people in. And then I thought about these shoes, and I thought, well, the farmer had the wrong type of shoes. What does a farmer need to wear on his feet? Do you know? Welly boots, okay? So here's a farmer, and he's got his welly boots. These are Laura's, okay? Because I don't own a pair of welly boots still. Okay. So these are the welly boots here, okay? And a farmer has his welly boots because they're nice and sturdy. He won't sink into the ground. And these boots are for a farmer. These shoes might be for somebody in an office, or I don't know. Don't know, okay? And I was thinking, whenever I look around my house, I find loads of different shoes. And I thought to myself, think of all the people that God has on this planet. I wonder if we look at shoes, could we work out what these kind of people might do? So we've got maybe somebody works in an office, somebody that, I don't know what kind of office, but got welly boots here, okay? What about these type of shoes here? What might these be for? These are mucky because I was out running. Yeah, okay. Nigel! Okay. What do you think? For running, okay. So this could be a runner, a sports person. I was thinking maybe your PE teachers in school, would they have a pair of shoes like these? Yeah? Yes, Jenna? A person that likes hiking as well. Maybe instructor, school teachers taking people on school trips. I was also thinking, because they're all mucky and things, and they're quite sturdy, maybe somebody like a builder might wear them. If they had steel toe cap boots, a builder or a joiner or somebody that works really, really hard, okay, and gets their feet mucky and dirty, okay? So if we're thinking about workers for Jesus, what do you think? A farmer grows crops, and a person in an office types lots of letters and maybe can speak to their colleagues. What could, like, a PE teacher or they could blow a whistle at you? How could a person that wears these type of shoes tell us about Jesus? What could they do? Yes. Keep going on no matter what. That's very important. So leading by example, never giving up. Your PE teacher, your teachers at school, or the people in, for example, a building site, or being a joiner or an electrician or whatever it may be, they can have a quiet conversation with you and tell you about how much Jesus loves you. So here's shoes here, okay? Then I was thinking again about somebody that works in an office, so we've got nice brown shoes here. Then I was thinking, today's Children's Day. So I've got these here, nice shoes here. Judah, these are yours, by the way, you just haven't seen them. They've still got the tag on them, okay? £6 from Matalan, they were on sale, okay? So what could you guys, so we're looking at all these different people wearing these different types of shoes. If you guys put on your shoes for Jesus, how could you tell other people about Jesus? What could you do? Yes. What is it? Sorry, shout really. Absolutely. Wonderful. Rebecca. Very good. And we actually prayed that up here as well, that God would help us make the right choices in life. Do that again. Oh, they don't fit you? Oh, there. Okay. So maybe that's why the label is on them, because I have to return them. Okay. But boys and girls, you have a great opportunity because you're in school every day, and I know you're about to go on your summer holidays, but we have a week still to go. And maybe there's less work to be done, and maybe you might think these shoes might be small, and sometimes you might think, do you know what? I'm quite small too. But God thinks you are mighty, because the Bible says that we are to come like little children into the kingdom of God. that we are to be like children, because adults, do we realize that children sometimes never get embarrassed? They just say things as they are. And boys and girls, you have a great mission to be able to tell your friends in school just how much Jesus loves them. So that's shoes there. That's toddler shoes. Then I was thinking about this. Who might wear these? Who might wear these? These are my slippers, Rebecca. A granda. Okay. These are my slippers. Who might wear them? Who might wear them? Me. Okay. Yes, a granda. I'm not quite a granda yet. Okay. Maybe one day. But I was thinking, there's so many people in this church, and they might go, do you know what? Stuart's talking up at the front here about farmers working really hard, about PE teachers and electricians and everybody else that's working. What about me? Because I'm retired and I'm old, all right? What could God possibly ask me to do? Do you know what, guys? Some of the best prayer warriors are people who are sitting at home with their slippers on, because they are praying that the kingdom of God would come to earth. They are praying for all of the leaders in this church. They are praying for all of the children and young people here. And they are mighty warriors for God. It doesn't matter whether you're old or whether you're young, God has a job for you to do. And then I've got last pair here. Well, I've got another pair. These are my fancy Crocs. Do you like them? Do you like them? Okay. I saw these the other day. Who remembers these little shoes? Guys, you not quite yet fitting in here, okay? But you know what? The other week, whenever Emma and John came in with their little bundle of joy, I was up in the balcony and I almost shed a tear. Because what does a little baby, how can they, a tiny little baby, so helpless, what can they do for the kingdom of God? What can they do? Just being there is enough. Because put your hand up in here. Whenever you see a new baby come in here on a Sunday morning, many of you smile. I do. Do you know why I smile? Because I see that one day, hopefully, that little baby will grow up into being someone like you, and then someone like Connect, and then an adult, and then an old person that will continue on this church. God has a purpose even for the youngest person in here as well as the old. Now, boys and girls, there are so many people in here this morning who love you and who have given their time for you this year. Do you know we have loads of volunteers in this church? We have people who come to clean. We have people who sing in the choir. We have people who ring the bells. We have people who serve tea and coffee. We have people who stand at the door and welcome you in every morning. And there's so much goes on even behind the scenes. I'm looking around here and there's some people during the week writing policies that probably none of you will even have to see. There's people that are doing finances, and that's all to do with money, that we just, whenever we give our money to God, we just expect it to just work out and go to the right places that it needs to go. There's a job for every single person. But every Sunday morning, whenever you come to church, there's not just Connect, little church, kids church. It doesn't just happen. You see, there's volunteers in here who come week after week after week after week and make themselves available for God. They said, whenever they chose to volunteer, they said, God, here I am, use me. And God directed them into those ministries. And this morning I want you to do something for me. Everybody in here, can we give all of those volunteers a massive round of applause? We realize that without volunteers, without people who are willing to say, I'm available, that these things can't happen. That on a Sunday morning, there would be no Connect. On a Sunday morning, there would be no kids' church. On a Sunday morning, there would be no little church. During the week, there would be no things happening. without people who are willing. Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I wonder this morning if there's someone sitting in here that would love to say, God, I am available. I want to put on a pair of shoes. I want you all to look down at your shoes actually right now. What shoes are you wearing? They could be the type of shoes that you wear in your daily job every single day. They could be the type of shoes where you're wearing Crocs or you're wearing trainers and you can run up to the people in the playground and say, God loves you. Or you be wearing your fancy shoes because God wants you to be in an office and tell your colleagues about how much they are loved. Or you could be like my dad and be a farmer and get your welly boots dirty, or you could have your work shoes on because you're showing people the kindness of God. Telling them about how much God loves you and about his rescue plan that we were talking about at the very beginning. God has a job for each one of us. And maybe just because we have all these volunteers in church, as I said earlier on, it doesn't mean that Nigel sleeps easy at night, okay? Because we're always looking for more people to volunteer, to come and say, I'm willing, God, to serve you in this church. Or maybe God's saying to you, actually, I'm going to put on a running shoes because I'm going to travel the whole world for God. That's a very dangerous prayer. Whenever we say, God, use me, God could really use you. He could use you in this place. He could use you all across the world. Dear knows where it will take you. What an adventure we can go on. Whenever we put on the correct shoes where God wants us to be and open ourselves to say, God, use me. Again, thank you to all of those volunteers that come along every Sunday morning for these children. Children, I hope you know how much you are loved. Loved by God and loved by the people in this church, because we are a great big family. A big family of God who love each other and encourage each other. And hopefully from what you have learned this year, you will grow into big, strong disciples that one day you'll be wearing maybe not just these here shoes here, but bigger shoes in the world of work in years to come, where God will use you mightily. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for each of the shoes that we are wearing this morning. Thank you, God, that some of us are called to be teachers, some of us are called to be builders, some of us are called to be good, faithful friends in the playground, that some of us are called to be nurses or doctors or vets, all for your glory. And we pray, Lord, that each of us in here this morning, from the youngest person to the oldest person, may find their purpose in you, that they may love you with their whole heart, with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their strength, with all of their mind. And God, may they say, Lord, use me. Lord, I thank you for all of the volunteers that have made this church year possible through all of the children's and youth ministries. Thank you, God, for their time and their commitment. Thank you for their availability, for being open to serving you. So Lord, as we celebrate today, we celebrate because you have given us life. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to live that life in all fullness and know just how wonderful you are. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And we're all going to stand to sing together one more time.